Now broadcasting the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show, positioning your business with strategies for an extraordinary future. Dr. Nilda features expert guests from diverse backgrounds to bring you their stories and strategies that have helped them reach their success. The diversity in industries gives you that panoramic view from an array of industries. They are innovators, thought leaders, trendsetters, and strategists. Here, Dr. Nilda reveals strategies that will position you to be on the cutting edge and be able to do what you love with the people you like, making the profits you want to live the lifestyle that you have dreamed of. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nilda Perez.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show. And today I have a very awesome, fantastic guest with me that I'm very excited to have, and honestly did not even realize who she was until a few minutes ago, didn't realize all that she brings to the table. So I am super excited. So guys, if I am jumping out of my skin, bear with me, please bear with me. So first of all, I want to introduce my co-host, Rachel Calderon.
Hello.
And then I want to introduce Joyce Joya.
Hi, Joyce. I am so pleased to be with you here today, Nilda.
Okay, awesome. You know,
it's so important for people to think about the future.
Right.
And so often they don't.
Right. So let me read your bio so that they know exactly who you are. Joyce Joya is a strategic business futurist. She's a certified speaking professional and a certified management consultant. Joya has helped thousands of clients envision and create their preferred future. Companies such as the American Honda, Caterpillar, Petronas, Procter & Gamble, and AT&T. She's a respected professional speaker for over 15 years. Joya has spoken in 47 states and 7 continents. She's been featured regularly in the U.S. media such as Forbes, The Economist, Business Week, and Entrepreneur magazines. She also is a co-author of 5 books, including the popular bestseller Impending Crisis, Too Many Jobs, Too Few People, and How to Become an Employer of Choice. In 2013, USA named Joya their first Road Warrior of the Year. This award launched her TV career and she has been on local and national television over 60 times in just the last 2 years. Join me in welcoming celebrity futurist Joyce Joya.
Yay!
As you can see, we're thrilled.
Yes, we are so thrilled that I am going to ask that very first question because her bio shows that she is the celebrity, okay? And now my question to you, Joyce, okay, this is so exciting, is what is a celebrity futurist?
A celebrity futurist is someone who is accustomed to being in the public eye, Rachel. Someone who knows how to talk about the future in a way that people can easily understand it, in a way that people want to hear more, in a way that people want to take that information in and use that information to make their lives better.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
So let me ask you a question, Joyce. One of the things that I've had has been the greatest struggle. As much as I love futuring, I find that I'm an anomaly in most places where I try to speak about it. I've considered myself and I've decided that I am a crusader for futuring only because I realize the impact that it has on business, on careers, on anything that you want to do for the future. And most human beings, most of us spend a lot of time planning for the future. But we're not planning in the areas that mean so much, which is our organizations, our careers, our future, our personal and business future. So you've been doing this for 25 years. Have you
Yes.
found the same thing, the same problem?
When I tell people that I'm a futurist, they look at me like I have 3 eyes. They say, what's a futurist?
Exactly.
And that's what I tell them. which I have shared with you, that as a futurist, I help individuals and companies to make better decisions by knowing what's coming.
Okay.
And I think that that's a pretty succinct way of communicating the benefit that we provide and the process that we go through.
Okay.
You think so?
Spoken as a true marketer. Rachel always tells me, Nilda, you need to tell them the benefits and features, the benefits and features. She says, yeah. You get, you know, too caught up in talking about all the other things, but the benefits and feature, what is the benefit to them? What are the features that benefit? So you spoken like a true marketer.
But the benefit has to come first, you know?
Right.
And that's
Absolutely.
What Rachel keeps telling you. And that's, When I was writing copy, and I was an award-winning copywriter once upon a time, what I discovered was that most copy is really poorly written because they always want to put the features first, and it's putting right. the cart before the horse, right, Rachel?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
It's so true.
Because people don't care really what the features are. They want to know, what's in it for me? What's it going to do for me?
Exactly.
How is this going to make my life better?
Okay. So from a marketing perspective, how do you feel that futuring really makes that difference in the way that they are perceived and in the direction that they're going?
Well, futuring makes everybody more successful because they know how to position themselves. And they know how to position their organizations. I mean, if you are, for instance, a toy store, and you can look at the demographics of the community that you're in and see that there will be a preponderance of, say, grandparents in your community. Then you want to market to the grandparents to buy it for their grandchildren. And of course, you want to say free shipping, right?
Right.
Let's take another kind of business, a beauty salon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at who's in your community, because typically beauty salons draw from the immediate community. Now, I'm choosing two small types of small businesses now.
Right.
But if you are seeing that there's a preponderance of 40 somethings, for instance, you would want to market your services as something that people could do for themselves that would make them feel special, because typically 40 somethings are the sandwich generation, and they're sandwiched between their parents and their children, and there's precious little time for themselves.
Okay, fantastic. So one of the companies that I really look up to is they were gaming. They took gaming to the next level. And it was pretty much because they understood the future. They understood the position that they were currently in, which is gaming. And it was a very difficult entry point because Sony and Microsoft had taken it over. And so what they did was that they looked at the future and said, you know what? Why not make gaming for the elderly and even for the baby boomer who wants to exercise, and we're making it a game. So that they must have been working with someone like you, if not you directly, someone like you who was able to tell them that future so that they can take their small company and really embark in an area that was already saturated, or maybe not saturated, but definitely monopolized by these two companies. And they were able to break through.
You know, that gets me into a whole different realm. May I mind jump with you now?
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Because one of the things that I see as a real benefit to companies like that is that they give people an opportunity to exercise at home. Now, it's true that you do need to have more willpower so that it gets done than the average person might have who ends up going to the gym because they know that if they go to the gym, then they'll exercise. But I think that it's such a great thing. I record on my DVR all kinds of exercise programs. There's something called the Esmon technique. We have Google Fiber here in Austin now. We're blessed. But I'm sure that a lot of the other systems have this as well. So yoga and Esmon, and I used to have 90 episodes of Gilad, Bodies in Motion.
Okay.
Do you know who Gilad Janklowitz was?
Yes, yes. We do. Yeah. Yeah.
I do. Wall Street Journal called him the Israeli stud muffin. And I have like 60 episodes in my computer so that when I go all over the world, and I fly all over the world to work, as you may well know,
right,
I can bring it with me. And it's part of what helps me to feel good and look, I'm guessing, younger than my age.
Right. Well, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's also the state of mind. How does it make you feel? You know, so it's not always how you look, because sometimes you can look fabulous and not be so healthy. So so the reality is that, it helps you with mind clarity. It helps you with, there's so many benefits. Talk about benefits. There's so many benefits to exercising because there's so many other areas. And I think the feature is to look better, to look younger. But the other benefit, the benefits outweigh by far those features.
The investment. The investment that you have to make in order to get there. I agree.
Yeah.
Now, can I go back to futuring?
Oh, sure.
We keep talking about futuring, and I know that Dr. Nilda would totally understand this part. We struggle with people understanding it. Why is it so difficult for when we talk to people about futuring, and we're bringing them the benefits and the features, but they still have this horrified, scared look. And they're like, what? Even when we bring it up in marketing, it is important. And they just stay there like deer in headlights, you know, looking at the car coming straight at them like, you know, what do I do? What do you mean? How much does that cost? And they're not focused on, you know, I mean, we all pre-plan. We all have to do financial planning. All of that is a part of futuring. Why do you feel, because I know that you've done this for so many years, why do you feel that futuring is so difficult for people? Why is it so hard for them to comprehend?
Rachel, and you really know this. It's just that maybe you've forgotten it. But you need to communicate the benefits in language that they will understand, okay? And there are two ways that you can do that. One is, well, maybe three. One is, if I could help you make better decisions, would you be interested in learning more about that? That's number one. If I could help you make more money, would you be interested in knowing more about that, right?
Right.
Number three, if I could help you be less stressed because you had a confidence, my friend Aldana Ambler created an expression for me to use in my book, Moving into the Future with Your Head and Your Heart, which never got written. But the expression is grounded courage. And that's what you're giving your clients, is grounded courage.
Okay.
Because you're grounding them in a competence and a confidence so that they have the courage to move forward in their lives. Yes?
Fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, yes. Now that you're talking about moving into the future with your head and your heart, what does that mean?
Well, it means that you're moving into the future, and quite literally, whether we like it or not, we're all moving into the future because time marches on, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
And you want to have your head because you want to have your wits about you. You want to know, you want to have an intellectual understanding of what's going to be coming. But you also want to have the empathy, the compassion, the understanding that comes from being a heart-centered person. That's what it means to me.
Okay, fantastic. You have to finish that book.
Yes.
When
I get finished with the current book, then we'll see about that one.
Yeah, we need to go back to that one.
I'll send you messages. Joyce, are you done? Are you there yet?
Well, because the beauty is that it's true. I mean, our businesses become our heart. We pour so much into them. We pour everything we know, everything we have into our businesses. So to believe that this is only going to be a cognitive change, a cognitive thinking, well, you know, now you know the future and it's only going to be, it's a farce, because our businesses, it's very emotional. Those become our babies. I know for my business, it's my baby. I birth it. I feed it every day. I make sure that it grows. And I'm always, you know, there's so much that I pour into it that it really becomes your heart. So I love this concept of your head and your heart, because yes, although we want to make cognizant, you know, brilliant decisions for our future, we also have to bear in mind, you know, our heart. And
I'm seeing a really interesting development from a management consulting point of view that I haven't seen before. Very interesting development. And that is, I did two interviews with two different business owners. One owns two hotels in North Carolina, and the other one owns a bunch of restaurants in Austin and elsewhere. And they both talked really, it's like they elevated this value to a point where I had not heard it elevated to before. And the word is empathy. And what they're saying, which I never heard before, is we want our employees, it's a matter of EQ. And one of them, the guy in North Carolina, even rates people based on empathy, compassion, their emotional quotient, emotional intelligence quotient. These kind of amorphous things that make us human beings.
Right.
And I've not seen that before. And they're looking for their employees to have empathy, not only with the customers, but also with their fellow employees. It was fascinating. And I can't wait to finish that article. I'll send it to you when I get it done.
Oh,
and it's
absolutely
all about creating employee experience, positive employee experiences. And of course, I'm going to use whatever I have there to inform that chapter of the book that I'm writing as well.
Fabulous. Here's the thing though. It makes sense. I come from a psychology background. My master's is in clinical social work. Uh-huh. And I totally get that, because happy employees, they're really the front line. They're the front line to your customers. Oftentimes you never see your customer. So you have to make sure that the employee experience, that the employee emotional quotient is developed because that's so important. They're the ones that are the front line. They're the ones that are going to make the difference in what direction your business goes.
Yes, and if they're getting along with each other, things are going to run much more smoothly, and you're going to be driving much more bottom line profit.
Right, and they're valued. They're going to feel more valued. And so when they get along with others, it makes them feel more valued because they're looking at each other's strengths, and there's not so much, there's no bickering, there's that, you know, harmony. And harmony is always good. It's always a positive thing.
Harmony works in all kinds of ways because everybody is less stressed. The organization is more productive. It just makes everything better.
Absolutely. I love it. So you are the CEO of the Herman Group. Tell me a little bit about the Herman Group. I have read many of your articles, and I want you to tell me and tell the audience about the Herman Group, what you do and how this can benefit them, because your articles are really fabulous.
Thank you. I write the Herman Trend Alert. It goes out to 29,000 people in 90 countries in 4 languages every week. And I cover, you name it, the future of. I've talked about VR being used in marketing. I've talked about Pokemon Go. I've talked about, this week was self-driving trucks, but it's not all technology. I've talked about CRISPR, which is a new gene splicing process that right. can make a huge difference with cancer and other diseases. I've talked about the future of retail and the future of travel and the future of meetings and the future of, well, you name it. I get to play in so many sandboxes. I just love it. And although my focus as a consultant is on the future of work, and I also, by the way, own the organization Employer of Choice International Incorporated in the United States. And that gives me the right to certify employers as being employers of choice. And I can, I focus on the future of work, and my background was in marketing, and then it sort of evolved into internal marketing and then HR. And the 5 business books that I've written were mostly in the future of work space and the what organizations would need to do in order to move into the future with success. The latest was called Impending Crisis, Too Many Jobs, Too Few People. And there are many industries right now that are experiencing that to a very high degree. And they're just not doing the right things to create those positive experiences for their employees. So there's a lot of work to do in the management consulting space.
Oh, yeah.
But I do a lot of work in hospitality. I love hoteliers. Mainly because you know that you and I have this in common. We live to serve, right, Nelda?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So and hoteliers have that same attitude and that same mindset that they want their people to live to serve. So I just love working with hoteliers all over the country. My last gig was in Melbourne.
Last fantastic. Oh.
Or was it the month before? I guess it was the end of October, I guess.
Okay. Fantastic. That's wonderful. When you're talking about employment, how does that look for careers? There are so many kids in school, and a lot of these careers that they're going for, that they're being educated in, are going to be obsolete in a very short time.
Very short time, yes. And the Cambridge study, I think, is already out of date. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
There was a Cambridge study for your audience. There was a Cambridge study that was done that looked at the different the different occupations and the degree to which they were vulnerable to being automated. Well, what we've already seen is that we're seeing a friend of mine actually has a robotic lawyer that he's working on.
Wow. That,
we used to think that the professionals were going to be immune. No way.
They're not anymore. Not anymore. Yeah. And I see that even in my career, like, when I talk, you know, again, as a social worker and in therapy, even that is taking a huge leap, a huge change. And, there's a lot of these careers and a lot of kids that are going to school to position themselves for these employments eventually are going to be outdated and much sooner than later. And futuring is something they should definitely be on top of.
Yeah. There was a trend alert that I wrote not too long ago called The Future of Employability. And if you run into any young people, I would highly recommend that you send them to that trend alert, because it talked about which skills are going to be valued as we move into the future, as we have more automation. And it's really interesting, the developments that I'm seeing from my perspective, where connection is going to be more important than ever, but that connection is not going to be in person so that people can hug. It's like we're connecting here on Zoom, which is a fantastic platform. We have just purchased it for the Association of Professional Futurists as well.
I know the festival was on Zoom.
Yes,
the Futurist Festival was on Zoom.
By the way, before we end, I do want to let everybody know not only that they can sign up for the Herman Trend Alert at www.hermantrendalert.com, but that APF, which is apf.org, is going to have something called Friends of Foresight. It's a new designation that we are launching to give people who are interested in foresight an opportunity to be connected to us as professional futurists, and yet they may not be futurists themselves, they may not be interested in being professional, but they have a real strong interest in the future. And so we're going to be cultivating them to work with us.
Fabulous. That's I love it. Yeah. Again, it's right up my alley. Cause like I said, I'm that crusader teaching foresight. And again, it's becoming future conscious. That's what I talk about constantly.
And I love that expression, Nelda.
It is so essential, that future consciousness. It's not a one and done. This is something that has to be constantly revisited. So that you can, because trends are changing quickly. And I think most of the fear with many of my clients, when they come to me, they'll tell me, like, I really love what you tell me, but I can't make all of these changes. I said, small, consistent changes is better than no change at all.
Right.
So don't feel that you need to change everything. Just small, consistent changes. And that's what you need to focus on.
For sure.
So that's what's fascinating. So I want you to tell me about your book, because this book is coming soon. And I want you to tell me about your book.
Probably 4 months, 5 months, at least in the ebook edition. It's called Experience Rules: How Positive Experiences Can Drive Profit into the Future. And it's all about not just employees and customers, which is how people, most companies think about, they talk about the user experience or the employee experience. They don't talk about, but very important, other experiences, like the experience as an investor, the experiences for boards, the experiences for communities, for families of employees and customers. All of these things, the role of gamification in creating positive employee experiences. There's just a if I could use a 50-cent word, a plethora of different communication, different relationships that organizations have. And I believe that as we move into the future, we are going to see that organizations will have a CEXO. That term was coined by Cynthia Wagner from the World Future Society, which is Chief Experience Officer. Now, there's already a CXO, okay, which is Chief Marketing Officer or Chief Experience Officer for customers and employees, or customer or patients and employees. But this is different because this is looking at the whole gamut of different stakeholders, different groups that have a stake in the success of that organization.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I think this is good. And this, your book will be out in about 5 months.
That's my expectation. Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. So we look forward to having you back so that we can talk about that book.
Being back. Yes.
Absolutely.
Terrific.
So Joyce, I know that you have a secret to life. Will you share with us that secret?
I will share with you that secret. My secret to life is to keep finding things that you love to do and then find ways to get paid for it.
Amen.
Amen.
I love
that's
that.
Music to my ears.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Joyce, I tell you, it has been such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
I think this information is so important for the audience. I know that they've kind of, the last 18 months, they've kind of been growing with me. And I think having futurists, you know, fabulous futurists just like you, here giving them this information, I think is just going to, I always say, at least awaken their attention to the future. And if that's the least I do, that's wonderful. If that's the least, but at most, I would love to see their growth and their interest in futuring. I love the fact
not American, because we're very international.
I know.
It's the Association of Professional
Futurists. Yes. So,
And by the way, I forgot to mention something terrific.
Okay.
That is that APF is going to start doing courses in January.
Fabulous.
Or sometime in the first quarter.
Fabulous. And I would love to teach one of those courses.
Uh-huh.
I would love that.
You would.
That, yes. So I am really, I want to thank you. I am so thrilled that you were here. I'm so thrilled that you shared your expertise. You are a brilliant woman. You have just amazing. I love everything that you do. I don't know how you have all the energy to do all that you do, but you know, you love what you do. And when we love what we do more of it. That's how it is. So I want to thank you so much for sharing with our audience.
My words are, when you love what you do, it's not work. It's never work.
Absolutely.
It's so true.
Absolutely.
So go for the joy.
Oh, awesome. Coming from Joyce. Joyce Joya, like you have joy twice. That's fantastic. Okay, so I want to thank you, and to the audience, we will be having a lot more futurists coming in the very near future. Again, this is going to be a conversation that we are going to really delve deep in. We have so many futurists from so many different walks of life that are doing futuring. So it doesn't matter what business you're in, you're going to find the person that's going to bring you to the future. So I look forward to having you in a few months again, Joya. And until then, goodbye. We'll see you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show. You can hear Dr. Nilda every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and anytime on demand on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. For more information on the featured guest, go to www.drnildaperez.com/show.